We're turning in our Bibles tonight to the book of Judges, please, chapter 16. And we're reading at verse 1. And we're reading right down until the end of verse 21. Our overall theme these Tuesday evenings has been hearts of iron, feet of clay. And we've been looking for the past 3 Tuesday evenings at the life of and times of Samson. This is our 4th study on Samson, and we'll conclude with Samson next Tuesday evening in the will of the Lord. In fact, wrapping up the book of Judges very soon. We've come to our 13th study tonight, Toying with Temptation. And we're reading in Judges 16 and verse 1. Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the 2 posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her. There were 5 lords, each in charge of 5 Philistine cities. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs, as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And Delilah said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man. And she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. I think that's one of the saddest phrases in the Bible. He did not know that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house, toying with temptation. In Greek mythology, Achilles was the son of Peleus, king of the Myrmidons, and Thetis, a sea goddess. According to legend, Achilles was the greatest, bravest, and most handsome warrior in all of the army. One of the tales about his childhood relates how Thetis held the young Achilles by the heel and dipped him in the waters of the river Stye. Through the water's mythological power, Achilles became invulnerable. That is, every part of his body except the heel by which he was held. That small part of his body, untouched by the mythological waters of the river, remained vulnerable. And of course, from this story, we get the term, the Achilles heel, which describes our weakest point of vulnerability. It was just at that point that an arrow struck the near invincible Achilles and killed him. We have all, every one of us tonight, our own Achilles heels, points of vulnerability in our walk and in our fellowship with God. For some, it is money. For others, it is ambition. For still others, it is power. For still others, it is prestige. For Samson, it was sensuality. For just as Superman was vulnerable to kryptonite, so Samson had a chink in his armor through which his greatness was sapped. You see, when it came to women, Samson melted before his passions. He was the he-man with a she-weakness. The story of Samson's downfall at the hands of Delilah is one of the most famous stories of the Bible. Its blend of love and sex and violence and treachery give it all the dimensions of a classical tragedy. And therefore it has been told and retold and retold and retold right down through the ages. But Samson's tragedy is not unique. His experience was more dramatic than most. But there are countless Christians who have lost their strength for exactly the same reason as Samson. If I'm honest, I must confess. And if you're honest, you must confess that as Christian believers, we have a tendency to toy with temptation rather than to resist it. To trifle with sin rather than to flee from it. It's so easy to play with the Delilah of sin. For all of us know tonight the pool of her persuasive powers. My friends, temptation is a constant part of the Christian life. Because we face a threefold enemy, the world, the flesh, the devil, temptation comes in a variety of ways. Nevertheless, we can learn some basic lessons for 21st century living from this ancient story of Samson's downfall. Let me tonight, first of all, divide up the passage for you. Have a look at chapter 16 again. It divides very simply into three. In verses 1 to 3, we have inclination. In verses 4 through 20, we have temptation. And in verse 21, we have degradation. I want you to notice, first of all, the inclination that Samson fostered. Oscar Wilde once wrote these words, I can resist anything except temptation. That seems to be an accurate analysis of Samson's attitude here in Judges chapter 16. If ever there was an illustration of the truth of 1 Corinthians 10:13, it's found here. You remember Paul's words. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that ye might be able to bear it. Samson did not feel because the temptation was too strong. Samson did not feel because the temptation was inescapable. He feared because he toyed and he trifled with sin until finally he gave in. Ambrose, an early Christian writer, puts it like this, and I quote, "Samson, when brave, strangled a lion, but he couldn't strangle his own love. He burst the fetters of his own foes, but not the cords of his own lusts. He burned the crops of others and lost the fruit of his own virtue when burning with the flame and kindled by one single woman." The first part of Samuel's downfall here in Judges chapter 16 is not very well known, but this episode is preparatory. This episode in Gaza is preparatory for all that happened in the valley of Sorek later. Indeed, what Samson sowed in Gaza, he reaped in Sorek with Delilah. We're not sure when this sad event occurred. It probably occurred at the end of Samson's 20-year stint as one of the judges of Israel. For a period, Samson ruled by faith. He ruled righteously, but like many others in the book of Judges, he didn't finish his ministry on a high note. Notice, for example, that Samson dulled himself spiritually. He dulled himself spiritually. Look at verse 1. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. There can be no doubt about it that Samson, at this point in his life, was totally out of fellowship with God. Apparently, he had learned nothing from the previous mistakes that he had made in chapters 14 and 15. His devotional life, as far as we can tell, was non-existent. Samson dulled his spiritual senses. What about your devotional life tonight? How much time do you spend in the Word of God? How much time have you spent today? What time do you spend at the throne of grace? What's your worship time like? Do you really have a desire to share Christ with others? You see, when your devotion to the Lord Jesus wanes, when you begin to lose that early fervor, when your hunger and appetite for the Word of God begins to evaporate, when your prayer time grows shorter instead of longer, when you like to be with the people of the world more than with the people of God, view those signs as red lights flashing on the dashboard of your life, warning you that your spiritual senses are growing dull. I'm sure that was one of the reasons why Samson fell. He dulled himself spiritually. Look at verse 1 again. He defiled himself morally. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. It seems incredible to us that a servant of God who did great works in the power of the Spirit of God would visit a prostitute. But the record is clear. The record is plain for all to read. In recent years, there have been many ministerial scandals in the church to put us all on our guard. You remember the words of Paul, "Wherefore let him that standeth take heed, lest he fall." Here is Samson, and he's taking that wonderfully strong body that had been given to him by God, and he's uniting it physically with the abused body of a prostitute. Now, I want you to see that Samson defiled himself by where he went. Verse 1, Gaza was an important sea town, and it was located about 40 miles from Samson's hometown of Zorah. It was one of the five principal cities of the Philistines. Why he went there, we're not told. But I can see Samson in my mind's eye, and he's mingling with the crowds in the busy streets of Gaza, and they're saying, "There's Samson, our enemy." Mind you, he wasn't about to win any popularity vote down there in Gaza. I want you to see how he defiled himself by where he went. And then I want you to see he defiled himself by what he did. Samson, always wayward in his relations with the opposite sex, defiles himself morally. The Nazarite was to be consecrated to God. He was to be separated to God. And yet this Nazarite becomes involved in sin. My friends, do you know something? Sensuality may be dormant, but it's never dead. Let me repeat that. Sensuality may be dormant, but it's never dead. Like embers smoldering beneath the surface of a thought-to-be-extinguished campfire, lust, when fanned in the open air, can fuel a forest fire, and invariably someone always gets burned. You remember the wise words of the man in the book of Proverbs? Look at it for a moment. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 26. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 26. Here's what it says. Proverbs 6:26, "For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go up upon hot coals and his feet not be burned?" Apparently for 20 years Samson ruled righteously and by faith. But that sensuality, though dormant, was never dead. You remember the wee chorus that we were taught when we were children? "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you touch." Sometimes we're not too vigilant. Sometimes we court places and programs and people that stir up sensuality within us. Samson defiled himself morally. Look at verse 2 of chapter 16. I want you to see that he not only dulled himself spiritually and defiled himself morally, but he displayed himself physically. "For when his enemies discovered that Samson was in the city, the Gaza civil defense unit had plans to trap him. And they set an ambush for him. But they didn't reckon on the tremendous strength of this man. For in the middle of the night, Samson left the prostitute's house and he put his arms around the gateposts of the city, which would be driven deep into the earth. And he tore out the gates, the posts, and all, and he carried them on his shoulders," verse 3, "to the top of an hill that is before Hebron." What an incredible feat that was. You know, that was a distance of 38 miles. That was a journey of 38 miles. My dear friends, if Samson were to appear in the 21st century, he would require a special category in the Olympics. But that only makes his tragedy greater. Here was a man who had power without purity. Here was a man who had strength without self-control. And because he didn't know holiness in his life, he was going to experience a crushing defeat. You say to me tonight, why didn't God chasten him? Why didn't God discipline him? Why didn't God remove him? Why didn't God punish him? Because God is patient. God is long-suffering with us. And God uses us in spite of our shortcomings. Will you listen to me tonight when I say this? That blessing is never necessarily the mark of strength and purity. God doesn't bless us because of us. God blesses us in spite of us. And Samson, however, had taken a tragic step downward, and soon he would reap what he had sown. come with me from the inclination to the temptation. Let me put it very simply tonight. Temptation is when you're asked to do it. Sin is when you do it. Let me give you a couple of quotes tonight that may be helpful. Erwin Lutzer, pastor of the Moody Church in Chicago, says this: every temptation comes to us by our thoughts. That's good. Every temptation comes to us via our thoughts. J. Oswald Sanders says this: the mind of man is the battleground on which every moral and spiritual battle is fought. Old Vance Havner said this: our defeat or victory begins with what we think. And if we guard our thoughts, we shall not have much trouble anywhere else along the line. What's your thought like? Now, this temptation surrounds Delilah. Know very little about her, except that she was sexually attractive to Samson. And he entered into an affair with her. Her name was Semitic, not Philistine, but from the story, she seems to have been a Philistine who had Hebrew blood in her family. By now, the Philistines were determined to get rid of Samson once and for all. They had five major cities, and over those major cities, there was one tyrant, one lord, and those five lords come up to Delilah with a proposal. They offered her $5,000 to discover the secret of Samson's strength. That was a tremendous amount of money. That was a great deal of money. And Delilah immediately agreed to sell the man who loved her. Now, it's interesting to notice where this temptation took place. Geographically, it took place, according to verse 4, in the valley of Sorek. Sorek lay between Zorah and Timnath on the border of Judah and Philistia. The city of Beth-Shemeth was located there. And here Samson found a woman and he fell in love with her. It's always dangerous to linger at the enemy's border, for you might get caught. Alfred Edersheim, the Jewish historian, tells us that this place was the place of the choice red grape. Sorek was the place of the choice red grape. You see, certain foods and certain drinks to us suggest to us words of description. If I were to say rice to you tonight, you'd begin to think of countries in Asia. It suggests to us poverty. If I were to say champagne to you tonight, it would suggest to you prosperity. If I were to say to you tonight the choice red grape, it would suggest to you sensuality. And here in the place of the choice red grape, Samson faced his greatest temptation. Now, I want you to notice several things about it. Notice, first of all, the source of it. The source of it. Look at verse 6. And Delilah. And Delilah. Now, there are three very important principles about temptation that are embodied in Delilah. And I want you to grasp them tonight. Here's the first one. This temptation was attractive. This temptation was attractive. You know, the Philistines didn't hire tugboat Annie. They hired a beauty queen, Delilah. She was beautiful. She was attractive. And Samson wanted her very much. You see, my dear friends, when temptation comes, it comes in attractive packages. Wonder, have you discovered that? Have you discovered that when temptation comes, it doesn't come as something ugly. It comes as something good, something desirable, something fulfilling. It was only later that Delilah revealed herself for what she really was. You see, Satan doesn't come to us and say, I want to destroy your effectiveness as a Christian. I want to take the power out of your life. I want to ruin your testimony. I want to remove power and joy and assurance from your life. Are you interested? He doesn't come to us like that. My dear friends, Satan puts his poison in the middle of a sirloin steak and invites you out for dinner. Attractive. Always attractive. This temptation was attractive. I want you to see that this temptation was seductive. You see, the name Delilah means seductive or flirtatious. And this seductive woman was to entice Samson. Look at what it says in verse 5. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him. The Hebrew word here means to find an opening, a point of vulnerability, an Achilles heel. Exactly the same word is used earlier when Samson's wife is threatened by the Philistines, entice thy husband. The same word is used in the book of James. Come over for a moment to the New Testament. Look at this word, the book of James. Here's the same word. Look at James chapter 1 and verse 12. James is talking about temptation. Here's what it says. Blessed is the man, James 1:12, that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. There's our word. The Greek word means luring with a bait. It's the picture of a fisherman and the fish. The fish is nestled perfectly underneath a sheltered place. And a cunning old fisherman like Walton there at the back, he just drops the bait. And whether the bait is artificial or whether the bait is real doesn't matter. The design of the bait is to appeal to the nature of the fish, to entice. For Samson, the enticement was the lure of the opposite sex. Like an inspecting fish, Samson is drawn in slowly but surely by Delilah. And the bait is taken and the fish is caught. The book of Proverbs gives us a vivid picture of how Samson ended up being caught. I want you to come back with me to it. It's Proverbs chapter 7 for a moment. Proverbs chapter 7. I don't want you to think tonight that there's any of us that are above this, because I want to tell you that every one of us, from apart from God's grace, we could go exactly the same way as Samson went. An evangelist said to me on one occasion, he said, I read the book of Proverbs regularly, for he says it pulls me up, just brings me back to reality. Look at Proverbs for a moment, chapter 7. Street near the corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth and wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my voice. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love, for the good man of the house is not at home. He's gone a long journey, hath taken a bag of money with him, and will come at the day appointed. With her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird chasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Delilah, whose name means seductive, comes to different people in different forms. To Noah she came in the form of wine. He got drunk within his tent. To Uzziah she came in the form of power. He thought that because he was king, he could do the priest's job too. To David one day she came in the form of a beautiful figure. As he looked out of the balcony of the palace and he saw Bathsheba bathing herself. To Diotrephes she came in the form of position. He wanted to lord it over the assembly. Our adversary knows the appropriate guise in which to send his Delilah to us. And if we trifle with it, instead of fleeing from it, the result will be disaster. Every one of us in this meeting tonight, with all Achilles' heels, I don't care who you are tonight, there's a weak point. Oh, it's important to know our strengths, but it's a life and death matter to know our weaknesses. It was the unprotected heel of Achilles, the true fatal. It was Samson's vulnerability to physical excitement that led to his downfall. What about you tonight? What's your Achilles heel? Is it impurity? Is it greed? Is it selfish ambition? Is it the lust of power? Is it the love of money? This temptation was attractive, Delilah. This temptation was seductive. Come back to Judges chapter 16. There's something else I want you to notice about this temptation. This temptation was not only attractive, and this temptation was not only seductive, this temptation was cooperative. That is, it had to do with people. Do you know something? Samson didn't cut off his own hair. He just chose to spend his time in the company of those who did. He elected to spend his time in the wrong company, and they did the rest. When does temptation come? Let me tell you. When we choose the wrong company. Samson always chose the wrong company. First there was the Philistine woman from Timnath. One day he went down to Timnath. He saw her passing by, come back home. He said, "Dad, Mom, I found a real beaut. Get her for me to wife." And then you remember there was the harlot here in Gaza. And now it's Delilah. It was with those women that Samson chose to spend his time. And they helped to destroy his character. There is nothing that shapes my character more than the people I choose to spend my time with. Paul says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." The Amplified Bible puts it like this: "Evil companionships corrupt and deprave good manners and morals and character." God's not calling us into isolation that retreats into a holy huddle, but we need to look carefully at our friendships if they're drawing us away from the Savior. You ever evaluate your friendships? Are your friends drawing you closer to Christ? Or are they drawing you further away from Christ? Are your friends dragging you down spiritually? Or are they pulling you up spiritually? Are there any Delilahs in your life that you need to deal with? The source of it. Look at Judges chapter 16 again. Notice secondly the course of it. You say, how did it proceed? Well, Delilah went to work on him with all her seductive charm. And she asked Samson to tell her the secret of his strength. Verse 6. And Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee." Samson should have immediately sensed the danger, refused to answer, but he didn't. Rather than going home, he stayed. Indeed, he decided to play with her. They played a game together. You know what they called the game? The Philistines are here. And on three occasions, Samson deceived her. 7 fresh bowstrings, new ropes, weaving his hair were all tried, but none were successful. Now, wouldn't you think by now that Samson would get a little bit suspicious? My dear friends, it would seem to me that if every time I woke up I was tied in cords and wrapped with ropes And woven into a loom, I might guess that something fishy was going on. But Samson persisted in playing with fire until he could burn. How like you and I sometimes will play with sin until we get burned. Notice not only the source of it and the course of it, notice the force of it. Look at verse 16. Verse 15, and she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. Here's the force. It came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death. She was persistent, wasn't she? You see, Satan doesn't give up easily. If he took three shots at the person of the Lord Jesus, you can be sure that he's not going to give up easily on you. So Delilah pulled out all the stops, and she put on all the charm, until finally she rusted his resistance away, just like her Philistine predecessor in chapter 14. You ever been to a slaughterhouse, seen cattle being lined up to be killed? That's a vivid picture of Samson here. Delilah just rattled the bucket. Samson followed to his death. Samson said razor, and Delilah saw silver. Now let me draw two principles here very quick. Here's the first one. When we give in gradually, we will give way eventually. When we give in gradually, we will give way eventually. Did you notice that Samson's replies was getting nearer and nearer every time? His secret. He went from the bowstrings to the ropes. He went from the ropes to his head. He went from his head to his hair. If I give in gradually, I will give way eventually. Principle number two. When I toy with temptation, it traps me. The New Testament doesn't tell us to fight this kind of temptation. It tells us to flee from it. Flee fornication. You remember Paul's words to young Timothy, flee youthful lust. Now let's be honest, fleeing's not easy. It would have been difficult for Samson. He had a real love, a real affection for Delilah. Samson chose not to flee, and he lost his character. Joseph chose not to stay, and he maintained his testimony. Remember Joseph? Come on back for a moment to Genesis. Look at Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. Verse 7. Genesis chapter 39. And verse 7. You remember Joseph's down in... He's down now in Egypt. He's in Potiphar's house. The Lord's blessing him. He's finding grace in the eyes of his master. And this master has entrusted Joseph with everything in the house. He's the steward of his house. Verse 7, Genesis 39 says this, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. There was lustful looks. She wanted Joseph. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master knoweth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass as she spoke to Joseph day by day, there was lustful looks, there was daily distraction. She's after him now every day. But he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. It came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there with him, there within. And she caught him by his garment and saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand, fled, caught him out. That's the recommended procedure every time you and I are faced with lust. Flee. Abandon ship. Ralph Emerson said on one occasion, call upon God, but make sure and row away from the rocks. Wonder, is that what we need to do? Wonder, are there areas in our lives that we need to deal with? Wonder, are there things that need to be changed if we're going to preserve our character? Maybe it's our lifestyle. Maybe it's our leisure activities. Maybe it's our job. Maybe it's our country. But fleeing is essential. My dear friends, we cannot trifle with sin. Samson thought that playing with Delilah was a game. It turned out to be Russian roulette, and he bought the bullet. It's pathetic to read verses 18 to 21. Have a look at them in closing. And when Delilah saw that he told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, Judges 16. Come up this one, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines come up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep. You can see him, this massive man. He says, I'll go out at other times as before and shake myself. And he wist not. He did not know that the Lord was departed from him. How could Samson ever go to sleep in the lap of Delilah? He must have known what she was going to do, but sleep he did. And suddenly, in the midst of his sleep, he heard the old shout, the Philistines are here. This time he was up again. But there wasn't a stalk of hair on his head, he was bald. Sure, he had broken the other parts of the Nazarite vow before now, but he had kept his hair unshaven as a sign of his commitment and consecration to God. There was no magic in his hair. It was only a symbol of his separation to God. But when his hair was shaven, his feeble dedication to God at last completely crumbled. But I think the last part of verse 20 is one of the saddest statements in the Bible. And he wist not. He did not know the Lord was departed from him. For God is not patient forever with sinful living. Inclination, temptation. Look at the degradation that Samson felt. Look at verse 21. The Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza, bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. The binding, blinding, grinding results of sin. Although called by God to judge Israel and endued with mighty power, the power of the Spirit of God to accomplish that task, Samson ended up his life in captivity to the enemies, and that captivity cost him 3 things. Have a look at them. It cost Samson his strength. It cost him his strength. Look at verse 21. The Philistines took him. Ah, they never done that before. You see, no longer was he the mighty Samson. He was just like any other man. The mighty man who had walked away with the gates of Gaza is now bound. He's reduced to doing the work of a slave woman shackled in chains. He's lost his strength. You remember when you were strong for God? When the glow was in your heart? When you were an overcomer? Wonder, have you lost your spiritual strength tonight because of self-indulgence, self-gratification? He lost his strength. He lost his sight. Look at verse 21. The Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. Can you see that iron? That iron heated white hot in the fire. Can you see the Philistines laying Samson on the ground? Can you hear the scream of God's servant as the tip of that iron touches each of his eyes and his vision is gone? He's lost his sight. He's as blind as any beggar in Gaza. Wonder tonight, does this explain why some of us as Christians have lost our spiritual sight? The Word of God no longer flashes with new meaning to us. We're blind to a lost world that needs evangelism on the attack. We no longer see the souls that are going down to hell. I wonder tonight, as the devil put your eyes out? Sure, if God's people saw the need of sinners today, would we not be urgent in bringing them to hear the gospel on a Sunday night that they might receive life through the life-giving Word? Ah, we're quite happy to come and go. Never say to a loved one, you're a perishing soul, but come with me, and I will do thee good. Wonder as a church have we lost our vision. Ah, it's wonderful to have missionary conventions. But tell me this, has it motivated you to be any more burdened for the souls that are on your doorstep? Lost his strength. He lost his sight. And then he lost his service. No longer could he serve God as a true Nazarite. Instead, he ground corn in the prison house. Notice verse 21. And he did grind in the prison house. That's an interesting word, grind. Let me ask you in closing tonight, is that what God's service is to you? Are you grinding? Is it all just a dreadful bore to you? Do you need to make an effort to get out on Sunday? Never come to the prayer meeting. No motivation. No joy. No service. Is that you? No longer do you teach in the Sunday school class. No longer do you give out gospel tracts. No longer do you witness in the open air. Ah, time for pleasure. Time for business. But no time to work for God. God doesn't want us to miss the picture of verse 21. The Philistines took him and put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. He lost his strength. He lost his sight. He lost his service. I want to tell you tonight, it could happen to me. Aye, and it could happen to you. Self-indulgence could devastate our life. With all of our potential, with all of our strength, we can end up like Samson. Let's not toy with temptation. Let's not trifle with sin. Let's not play with fire. Fight manfully onward. Dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus. He will carry you through. Let's pray together. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. Father, we pray that Thou wouldst give us the grace to flee. We pray, O God, that we may not toy with temptation. That we may not trifle with sin. That we may not play with fire. Lord, we realize tonight that we can never lose our salvation, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful that we're secure in Christ. Ah, but Lord, we could lose our testimony. Oh God, we pray that Thou wouldst keep us close to Thyself. Help us to keep short accounts with God. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.